this in 1 Corinthians 1, Paul, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God and Sosthenes, our brother, under the church of God which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place upon all the, that call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ, that in everything you are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end, that ye may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. God is faithful, by whom ye were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. Now we're going to take our text out of verse number 5, that it's where it says that in everything ye are enriched by him in all utterance and in all knowledge. What I want to preach on this morning is this little thought of the benefits of being saved. You know, knowing Christ as your Savior is the best, how you want to put it? You talk about a retirement package. You talk about you talk about God blessing your life. You talking about what God does for us. The Bible says he daily loadeth us with benefits. And there is a blessing of being saved and knowing Jesus Christ as your Savior. Not just in the sweet by and by, but even in the nasty now and now. Amen. I'll tell you, if there was no heaven, I'm still better off because I trusted Christ as my Savior. Amen. And if there was no heaven, I would do it all over again. But I'll tell you what, there is a heaven, and we're going there to live with him forever. And that's the icing on the cake. So let's pray, and let's ask for God's blessings. Father, I pray you bless the word this morning. And as a child of God, what you've done for us, the things you've provided, and how you bless us and care for us, watch over us every day of our life. You're always there. Lord, you said you'd never leave us or forsake us. What a great promise we have as a child of God. And Lord, as we rejoice this morning, God, in your blessings, and God, in all that you do, may you be honored and glorified. Bless the child of God this morning. Help us to encourage ourselves in our faith. And Lord, all that you've done, and if there be by chance one that's not saved, undone, in their sin, that today could be the day of salvation. Bless the word and help me to bring it. And God, I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, as I preach on this little thought, the benefits of being saved. You know, when we're looking at the Corinthian church, if there was ever a backslidden, out of fellowship, church in the Bible, it was the Corinthian church. Paul, that was the most lengthiest letter that the Apostle Paul wrote because it was the most backslidden church that he established. They were wealthy. They were in need of nothing. And Paul spent the most time with them, and everything they did was wrong. So Paul writes a letter of correction and instruction to the believers in Corinth. And it's an amazing letter he writes. He makes it very plain that they were carnal, immoral, divided, selfish, sinful. They were suing one another, abusing their Christian liberty. And we know that to be a fact because we've read the book of Corinthians. Now these people are saved. They're children of God. They do love Jesus Christ. But they had a lot of problems in their faith. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, look at it in verse number 1. He says, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." Now, hey, we know this was this church was born out of Paul's missionary journeys. And so they were young in the faith, and they had a lot of problems. He said, "I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you are not able to bear it, neither yet are you not able, for ye are yet carnal, and whereas there's among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men?" And see, again, it was a church that they had a lot of problems in their beginning. Now, it's not uncommon. We have a lot of churches in the same situation right here in America today, do we not? And you look at these situations. And Paul, as he's writing to them and explaining to them about their liberty in Christ. Galatians 5:13 says, "We have liberty in Christ, but use not your liberty as occasion to the flesh." Hey, we couldn't go to hell if we wanted to, but that doesn't mean we want to live sinfully. Amen? I mean, use your liberty in the right way. Use your liberty not to sin. Use your liberty to live holy and godly. Use your liberty to bring someone to Christ. Don't use your liberty to indulge yourself in the flesh. And therein lies the problem with the believers in Corinth. Even though they were sinful in conduct, can I tell you this? They were sanctified in Christ and called to be saints. Now, the lost world can't understand that, can they? They cannot understand the new birth. That when you become a child of God and you're born into the family of God, you're born into family. Right? And nothing can divorce you from the family. I mean, George Paponis had to claim me whether he liked me or not. I was his son. And no matter what I did, I was his son. And I will always be his son. Because of DNA. Right? When I got saved, I became a child of God. And Jesus Christ's blood cleansed me from all sin. And the Holy Ghost came inside and I became a child of God. And he cannot deny me. Amen. I'm part of the family of God. Thank God. But Paul's admonishing them to establish their identity as saints. And that is to live the Christian life. Amen. And that's, again, where people are failing, where the church is failing. Remember, we're not saints because of our work for God. We're saints because of God's work in us. Therefore, if any man in Christ, he's a new creature, all things are passed away, all behold, all things are become new. And that's the work of God. Now, if my salvation depended on me, you know I wouldn't have any salvation, and neither would you. Aren't you glad your salvation don't depend on you? Thank God it depends on God. I'm not working my way to get to heaven. The work was completed. Thank God, for by grace you're saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship in Christ Jesus, created unto good works. You say, what's that mean? Hey, it was all God, but then when we got saved, he wants us to do something good for him. Amen. Amen. Pretty simple. Anyone can understand that. You know, it's funny. People try to be what they aren't, but the Corinthians were not being what they were. And that is saints, a child of God, living the Christian life. Now, as we preach this morning, I want to preach on what the benefits are of being a saint. You're saved, you're a saint this morning. You know what the greatest thing of being a saint is? A child of God. And we're not talking about the saints as the Catholic Church describes saints, right? Did you know I was Saint Christopher? My name is Christopher. And that was one of the saints that the Catholic Church had till they defrocked him. And because he was one of the saints over traveling. And, you know, and if you know anything about my driving, you know that I couldn't live up to that. But you know what? I am Saint Christopher in the eyes of Jesus Christ. And you are a saint as well, a child of God. You know, and the benefits of being a saint is grace for our past. Now, I hate to remember my past. And I'm glad I'm further away from it than I ever was. You know, when I was 17, I'm 58, going to be 59. Man, I put some distance between me and my past. And thank God there's some distance there. But look in verse 3 and 4 in our text. He says, grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God always on your behalf for the grace of God which is given you by Jesus Christ. Can I tell you, these believers in Corinth, they needed the grace of God. And the grace of God that canceled their past. Amen. You know, people always want to bring up your past. I said, sorry, that's a canceled check. I don't want to talk about my past. I don't want to live in the past. I don't want to have any communication with my past life before I got saved. Amen. And thank God for the grace of God. The grace of God is so powerful to cancel the past. Amen. Romans chapter number 5, the Bible says this in verse 20. It says, moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. That as sin hath reigned unto death, even so grace might reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. Man, sin went deep, but grace went deeper. Hallelujah. Man, I got so many secret things I did as a sinner that nobody knows about. And I'll tell you right now, only Jesus knows it and I know it. And he ain't telling it, neither am I. Hallelujah. That's something I want to forget forever. Now, the devil won't let me forget it. But Jesus Christ never one time has reminded me of it. Because he canceled that past. As far as he's concerned, it doesn't exist. And can I tell you how thankful I am for that? That Bible says in 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with him, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Thank God, all that sin is gone. Gone forever. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, you're right there. 1 Corinthians 6 and in verse number 9, the Bible says this: Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? And be not deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor effeminate, nor abusers themselves of mankind, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners shall inherit the kingdom of God. That's what the city of Corinth was all about. But look what he says in verse 11, and such, catch the word, were. That's past tense. Were some of you. But you are washed, but you are sanctified, but you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of God, of our God. All things are lawful to me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Paul says, hey, you can do everything, but there's some things you shouldn't, because it's not profitable. I learned a long time, my sinful life didn't ever do one thing for me except make me miserable. Got me in trouble. Damaged my body. Damaged my reputation. Damaged my mind. But you know, when Christ came in, everything changed. Hallelujah. And he canceled my past. Thank God that he did. Look with me in Psalms chapter 103. Keep your finger in Corinthians. We're coming back. Psalms 103. And this is what when I read Psalms 103, I rejoice in the Lord, because I had a past life that thank God, God canceled it. Hallelujah. And I know listen, I'm glad. It doesn't even matter if you came to church every Sunday and did everything that was right. You still got a past life. Because of what was in your heart. And God cancels all those things. Amen. Psalms 103, and if you look there, and verse number 1, it says, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that's within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his, what's that say? Benefits. You talk about the benefits of being saved. We got it. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. Thank God for the benefits of being saved. Amen. For what God's done, he's canceled our past. It says, who satisfieth my mouth. Verse 4. Who redeemeth my life from destruction. Who crowneth thee with loving kindness and tender mercies. Who satisfieth my soul with good things. So that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord executeth the righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. He made known his ways unto Moses, his acts unto the children of Israel. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger, and plenteous in mercy. He will not always chide, neither will he keep his anger forever. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. That's one of the greatest verses in the Bible. Talk about God canceling your past. Talking about reaping what you sow. I mean, hallelujah. I don't want to get what I deserve. And neither do you. I want what I don't deserve, and that's God's mercy and grace. And thank God that he's put it all behind us. But not just behind us, he's put it behind him. Look what it says in verse number 11. For as the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. God took it away. He's taken it all away. That's grace for the past. Past sin, past shame, past shortcomings. Can I tell you, the world, the flesh, and the devil will never forget, and they will never forgive you for your past. And they always remember you for what you were, not for what you are. You're a saint. You're a child of God. But they live in the past because that's all they got. But thank God that Christ has eliminated all that. In Hebrews chapter 8 and verse number 12, I'll read it for you. You don't have to turn there, but Hebrews 8 and verse number 12, and we'll read a few verses in Hebrews, but Paul said this, "For I will be merciful to their unrighteousness and their sins and their iniquities, why remember no more." Isn't it funny? We can't forgive ourselves for what we've done, but God's forgiven it and forgotten it. He has forgiven it and forgotten it. He's not dwelling on it. You know, grace cannot coexist with guilt and shame or with human obligation. You know, God, when God lets it go, God lets it go. And that's what's so great about grace, that it cancels our past. Hebrews 10 and verse number 17, Paul said this. He said, "And their sins and their iniquities where I remember no more." The second time. Why? For emphasis. In case you forget that God has forgiven it and forgotten it. Thank God that He has. In Isaiah 38, 17, He says, "I will take all your sins and cast them behind my back." What's the moral of the story? Look in 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse number 10. Look what Paul says. Did Paul have a past? Oh my goodness, Paul had a past. He killed Christians, men, women, and children. He compelled them to blaspheme. He tortured them even unto death. And what does Paul say about that in 1 Corinthians 15, 10? Because Paul knew all about blasphemy. He knew all about cursing. And he says in chapter 15 and verse 10, he says, and look at verse 9, "For I am the least of the apostles, not meet to be called apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And His grace was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." Don't live in the past. Don't dwell there. God's removed it. He's cleansed it. He's forgiven it. And He's redeemed it. Amen. When someone from my past shows up and says something, I said, "Oh no, that guy's been gone a long time ago." Don't you know it's been a few years? It's been 40 years. I don't know that guy that you're talking about. Because my past, God's grace took care of it. God's grace is sufficient. And I am what I am by the grace of God. Thank God. That's one of the greatest benefits of being saved. Grace for the past. I saw Brother Raymond at the Preacher's Fellowship. And he's pastoring a church now. He's preached here for us a couple of times. Up there at Brother Ricky Spence's church. And I like Brother Raymond. You know what Brother Raymond was before he got saved? He wasn't nothing but a low-down, stinking, drunk, wife-beater and everything else. He couldn't go anywhere without drinking whiskey and getting drunk. Vile and filthy. But you know, Brother Raymond got saved. And God gloriously changed his life. How do you think he's pastoring a church today? Because God canceled his past. And I wouldn't have known nothing about his past if he hadn't told it one day preaching here. But he was praising God for what God did. Now, I've told a lot of things about my past, but there are a bunch of things I will never tell about my past. Paul used generalities. He didn't give details of all what he did. Because God canceled that. Don't live in your past mistakes. Let your past mistakes go and live in the life that God has given you as a child of God. You're not a horrible sinner. You're a saint. You're a child of God. Amen. The benefits of being saved is that grace cancels the past. And thank God of the gifts for the present. Look back in our text. We're in our text this morning and we're not going from it. Look at verse number 5. "That in everything ye are enriched by Him, in all utterance and in all knowledge." In everything we're enriched by Him, even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you. Now, we know God took care of the past, but we're living in the present. And Paul said in Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. You know what God does in the present? He supplies our every need. He empowers us to live the Christian life. Look at verse 7. So that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the Corinthian church could have been just like the Philadelphia church. God had nothing to say bad against the Philadelphia church. And God said, that I set before you open door that no man can close. And the Philadelphian church did everything right. But you know what? The Corinthians could have been exactly like them. Because God gives gifts for the present. God gives grace for the present. It doesn't matter what was in the past. That's gone. The great question is what's happening now? What are you doing going forward is what's so important. Ephesians chapter number 4. The Apostle Paul, when he wrote to the believers in Ephesus, he says this, Ephesians 4 and in verse number 1, "Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherever you're called, with all lowliness and meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace." Hey, what are we doing moving forward? Look at verse number 10. It says, "He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things, and gave some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of Christ." What are we supposed to be doing? Growing in Christ into that person that God wants us to be. Verse 14, "That ye be henceforth no more children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together, compacted by which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working and the measure of every part, maketh increase unto the body, unto the edifying of itself in love." Listen, God gives us gifts to grow and to be the saint that he wants us to be. There's nothing that we can't do in Christ. Hey, for the perfecting of the saints, perfecting the services, for the perfecting of the sanctuary. As a child of God, your presence makes everything better. Isn't it better when the church is filled than when it's empty? Isn't it better when there's a lot of Christians at work? And there's, rather than having none, isn't it better in society when there's more Christians than there are sinners? I mean, the brother was talking about this morning, Brother Dale was talking about how it is up in Boston. I mean, where Christian people are outnumbered, 10,000 to 1 or 20,000 to 1. Let me tell you, that can be pretty unpleasant. But see, God has a plan for each of our lives. And you know, I've learned this along the way. God uses everybody in the body of Christ. We need the feeble and we do need the fabulous. You know, then people come to church and they can barely come up the steps to get here. We need them. And then people that run in the door and jump up the steps. We definitely need them. I used to come to church and I would jump. I would literally jump. I wouldn't have to step on a step. Man, just come flying in the church. You're so excited to be there. Today, I walk up every step. I'm on my way to that feeble side, right? But we need the strong. We need the weak. Can I tell you this? We need the brainiacs and we need the maniacs. Now, I was never on the brainiac side. I was the maniac side. The maniacs are crazy and they'll do anything. The brainiacs have common sense and they know how to do it. And I tell you, we need the brainiacs helping the maniacs stay in the lane. Right? And we got some maniacs. Brother Doug's a maniac. I'm a maniac. You know, most preachers are maniacs. Some of you sitting in the pew, you know you're a maniac. My wife is not a maniac. She is the bastion of common sense that I completely lack. I said, well, I'm smarter than you. Yeah, but you got no common sense. Well, I said, I can't argue with you there. I'll never forget, Lisa taught me stuff all through school. That's probably why I married her. In eighth grade, there was an art class. And we'd done these, man, we did these fabulous painting things. They were fabulous. And I had some of the best ones in the class. But the art teacher said, now you got to learn how to make a frame and put it on the frame. Well, you know, me and tools don't get along. And I'm over there, you know, cut it three times, it's still too short. And I'm trying to put this frame together, and it's cattywampus, and it just made the whole thing look crazy. So Lisa comes over, and I'm cutting this thing, and I'm keep cutting it because it ain't right. And I can't get it to cut. I don't even know how to use a saw. And she comes over and says, Chris, I think you're not doing that. Can I help you for a second? And I said, well, yeah, tell me, what am I doing wrong? You know, I'm always in a hurry. You know, get it done no matter how it looks. That's a real problem when you got something good. She says, if you will just take the saw and drag it backwards before you try and push it forward, it'll probably cut the wood. Now, she knew that. Her dad made all kinds of things. Her dad was kind of like a carpenter. You know, we never made anything at our house. We only broke it. And she said, can I? And I said, wow, that actually works. Common sense. There were a lot of times she would say, hey, you know, and she would tell me something. And I said, that's great wisdom. Common sense. What's the world lacking today? We got college, but we got no common sense. But you know what? You need them all. The body of Christ needs it all. And just like we need every part of your physical body. Don't you need every part of your physical body? Man, I was upset when I lost my first tooth. I said, something's missing. And we all know when you get old, you don't have any. But I'd like to reach heaven with all my fingers and all my toes. Right? I'd like to reach heaven with all my body parts, with all my vital organs. Right? I'd like to reach heaven with my brain. I mean, aren't all our, isn't every part of your body important? Every part of the body of Christ is important. I'm so excited to see all these kids in church. You say, are kids important to church? You better believe kids are important to church. And can I tell you? Teenagers, 18-year-olds, 19-year-olds, and 20-year-olds, hey, they are important to church. Jacob is important to church. And so is Jimmy back there. Hey, we need some 18 and 19-year-olds sitting on the pews. We need some 20-something sitting on the pews. We need some 30-something sitting on the pews. And we need all these 30s and 40s and 50-somethings who have a job sitting on the pews. Everyone is important to the house of God. Some of these kids gave a lot of money for these school kids in Moldova. Don't tell me they're not important. See, God gives gifts for the present. And then God's gifts for the future, verse 7 and 8. So that ye become behind and no gift waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also confirm you unto the end that ye may be blameless. Blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know, the blessed hope for the believer. Looking for that blessed hope and glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Can I tell you that is going to become more real every day as we get closer to Christ's coming? Because the darker this world becomes, the more we're going to be looking up. Right? Are we not going to be looking for our escape valve? Are we not going to be looking for the trumpet to sound and for that shout and that voice of the archangel? Because things are going to be so bad in this world in which we're living. You say, what's so great about the future? It's where the future's perfected. The sweet by and by and the pie in the sky. Hallelujah. And even though we have little hope in the nasty now and now, our future is what lies ahead. I don't know about you, I'm looking for them crowns. Paul said, hey, I'm going to receive a crown. Crown of incorruption. Because I lived righteously. You know, that's something that every one of us can have, a crown of incorruption. Hey, I wasn't tainted by the world. The world didn't control me and what I did and where I went and how I acted. I kept my body in subjection and I told myself no. You know what's wrong with the day? We live in a day of excess. Nobody can tell themselves no. They can't tell the fork no. They can't tell the refrigerator no. They can't tell the prescription bottle no. They can't tell their neighbor no. They can't tell their kids no. They can't tell. We live in a society that is so filled with excess, we can't tell ourselves no to anything. And then we have this mentality, well, you deserve it. Indulge yourself. We don't need to indulge ourselves. You never get anywhere in life unless you tell yourself no. When that alarm clock rings in the morning, and you know you got to get up and go to work, if you don't tell yourself no, you'll reach over there and turn that alarm clock off. Hey, you got to tell yourself no in the simple things. When you're out and people are doing something wrong and they're offering to you, you got to say no. That famous saying that George Bush came out with, just say no. Was it Reagan? It was Reagan. Just say no. Just say no. Say no to immorality. Say no to premarital sex. Say no to the things that are wrong in this world. Just say no. You say, why? Because there's a crown waiting for you in heaven if you do. Conforming to our Savior's image. One day we're going to be just like Him. We're going to have a glorious body likened unto His glorious body because we're the sons of God and the daughters of God. Paul looked forward to that. Philippians chapter number 3 and in verse number 20, Paul says concerning this thing, for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall change our vile body, that it may be fashioned like unto His glorious body, according to the working whereby He is able to even to subdue all things unto Himself. We're going to have a body like His glorious body. In the moment, a twinkling of an eye, we're going to be changed. And this corruption is going to put on incorruption. You know, when I get to heaven, I'm never going to have to brush my teeth again. Never going to have to take a bath. You say, why? Because I'm never going to stink. Aren't you tired of stinking every day? And the older you get, it only gets worse. You got smells coming from everywhere. My shoes. Oh my gosh, my gym shoes. I can't tell you. At least I'm so thankful that at least I had COVID and couldn't smell nothing. I got up the other night and I'm laying in bed and I'm smelling this horrible smell and I said, I cannot take it. It is my shoes. And then I realized it wasn't just my shoes, it was my feet. I got out the Febreze, you know, you're spraying. I'll be glad one day when we don't have any of these problems. No more stink, no more shame, no more sin. Because I'm going to be conformed unto my Savior's body. Glorious and perfect. We like to think we're perfect now, don't we? But we all know we're not. But in Christ I am. And one day I'm going to have a perfect body for my perfect soul. Thank God for the city that shines. I'm looking to go to that city. That glorious city that God's been preparing for the last 2,000 years. It's going to come down out of heaven. And we're going there. Hey, most of us live in a shack. Relatively speaking. Right? You look at the mansions around here, and it make our little houses look like shacks, right? And then you look at the mansions that are really out there that make these mansions look like shacks. It's pretty bad when a mansion makes a mansion look like a shack. But you know what? What God's laid up in heaven and prepared for us, nothing in this world can compare to it. nothing. I mean, hallelujah, the streets are made of gold. Can you imagine our palace made of ivory? Made of diamonds? Made of every precious jewel you can think of? And we're going there to be with our Savior. But the greatest thing is the confirmation of our sinless perfection. That God's taken care of it. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15. I'll read this verse and we'll get ready to pray and say amen. But Philippians 2 and 15. And he said that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom ye shine as lights in the world. For the one day when we'll be blameless and it'll all be gone. Won't that be a blessing? There won't be any more secrets hidden away in your heart and mind that you hope nobody else finds out about. Because God will have removed all the secret things. I'll be so thankful for that. And I will become that person that God wanted me to be before the foundation of the world. Do you realize Jesus Christ sees us from the end to the beginning? And when God formed the worlds, He knew your name. And He knew what you were going to be. And we finally reach that place in heaven that God has prepared for His children. Aren't you glad we can sing, "Because He Lives, I Can Face Tomorrow"? Because He lives, all fear is gone. Because I know who holds the future, and life is worth the living just because He lives. Aren't you glad you're saved this morning? Sometimes we've got to remind ourselves, aren't you glad you're saved? It's easy to forget all that God has done for us. And where we're going and what He's prepared. What's the sinner have? They're going to a devil's hell. They're going to the lake of fire. They're going to the place of eternal damnation and judgment. What have they got? Nothing. Child of God has everything. We have the benefit of being saved. You know what we should be doing? Try and help others come to Jesus Christ. So they can come out of the destruction and the darkness into the marvelous light of Jesus Christ. Let's stand for prayer. I hope you're saved this morning. I hope you know the Lord. I hope your sins have been forgiven and your name's written in heaven, in the Lamb's Book of Life, and God's prepared a place for you in that holy city. But if you don't know Christ, you don't have anything this morning. Those benefits belong to the saved, saint, child of God. And God's offering it to all who believe. But you got to want it. You got to want to be saved. You got to want the new life. You got to want to be cleansed and forgiven. It's a gift that God gives to all who will receive it, but you have to receive it. Can I tell you, once you receive it, then you begin to understand how great it is. I got saved when I was 17. Greatest day of my life. God help us. We all need that gift. Let's pray. Father, I pray you bless the word this morning. And I pray you bless the invitation. I pray you speak to every heart. And God, if there's someone who needs to walk the aisle and be saved, give them courage to do it. And Lord, we pray for the saints here this morning that we, Lord, like the Corinthians, Lord, who don't always do things the right way, God, that we could make that decision, Lord, to live our life as becometh a saint, as becometh the child of God. Lord, to live our life in a way that's so pleasing to you. Bless the word and bless the invitation now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Head bowed, eyes closed, music's playing. Brother Doug's going to sing here in a minute. If you need Jesus, walk out of that pew and come down forward. We'll show you how to be saved. You need a new life, you can have it. You're not walking in the light as a Christian as you should. You can. You can be the Christian God wants you to be. Make that decision to live for Jesus. Sing it, Brother Doug.